Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Shalom Habarim. Interesting, he was able to get to the fullness right there, via of the Torah reading, the prophets reading, as well as a new covenant reading. So we've gone through the reading right here, the Trinity of readings here for this 25th sabbatical study. So here we're in the handbook of the priests. This particular book right here, why is this book so important? It's important because of the patterns. And the more we go through this with the Habarim, iron sharpened iron, it becomes clearer, the mechanics. There's some divine mechanics here. So we both have the phi cycle type. We have like the physical type or the literal type. And then we also have the metaphysical type. We have the allegorical type. So we'd like to go through a couple of the basic Shabbat sabbatical table talk questions right here for this 25th sabbatical study and see how we can recognize the pattern from the old, what's called the Old Testament, to the New Testament. But right here for the Sunday service, let's begin off Sunday service right here while refreshing some of the windows right here. Just finished after the Shabbat, the RSS, and here picking up the first day service. Let's go over a couple of basics here, kind of a little synopsis here while the board's here, refresh and ones, hopefully, you know, refresh, do what we have to do, and hopefully give ear, call in or tune in, whether Rastafari student on the YouTube here or also on the Blog Talk, the live stream, at least for the first 2 hours. Hopefully we have the full, because though it's little small, right? We just went through the whole thing within the first podcast, you know, Torah readings and feedings. Sometimes we really go on a grind and it becomes a little longer, you know, trying to bring out and hint to some of the details embedded, you know, within the Hebrew and within the Royal Amharic. But here, we have Shabbat command. So this Sabbath command or Sabbath, Senbet is Ezacho, Bamarinya is Ezacho, command them. Sabbath, command. Shabbat, Tzal, Senbet is Ezacho. So picking up with the second reading here in the third book, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 6. It's interesting because as we mentioned in one of the audibles, that Levi, from which we get Leviticus, he is the third son of Yaakov, the patriarch. And here we have the third book of Moshe right here. It's the heart of HaTorah, right? The holy place in the midst as the sanctuary, the tabernacle, and even as the ark of the covenant, the heart of the matter. So the synopsis here for Leviticus chapter 6 from verse 8 to chapter 8, verse 36. Now, there's also some details, sometimes the numberings from the English, the Hebrew, might be off by either a verse or a couple of verses, those who are doing their own study and getting into the interlinear. But here, synopsis, command, tzav, tzav, modern Hebrew, tzav, tzav, Bamarinya, Amharic, King of Kings Bible, is a zacho, command them. So now let's recall that the climax of the revelation given at Sinai, was the command to construct the sanctuary that was otherwise called the Mishkan, the dwelling place, or the tabernacle. Nearly half of the book of Exodus is focused on the tabernacle. And the book concludes with the Shekinah glory, Shekinah, the Kabod of Elohim, Ha'elohim, filling the Holy of Holies section of the tent of the tabernacle. Now, just a note right here, there's a few words that are used in translation, not always consistently, with the same basic structure, whether it's temple or later on temple comes into view, but tabernacle or tent, right, or sanctuary, just some of the basic English words used. So we'll get into some of the details. But overall, synopsis here, the book of Leviticus, the handbook of the priest, it begins right where the book of Exodus left off, with Hashem, with Jehovah calling to Moses, Moshe, from the tent of meeting, the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, Moed meeting, Moed appointment, also Moed in the sense of Moedim, when we speak about the appointments or the seven feasts and festivals of Jehovah in the three seasons. Looking forward to the first of them, which is Pesach from the Hebrew, or Fasica in the Amharic and known as Passover. So here, picking up where Exodus left off, Jah's glory filled the Mishkan, the dwelling place. And now here, Jah calls to Moses from the tent of meeting to explain to him the various animals, living creatures, and the grain offerings, the korbanot, from the root word korban, which comes from karab in the Hebrew, or karev in the Amharic, which means to present or bring something near. That was offered at the new tabernacle. Now here, picking up with this, a sabbatical and this Shavuah, this Torah reading and feeding in the manna, many of the Torot, the plural of laws, quote unquote, but more correctly, Torah means direction, instruction from the Hebrew yara means like the point to aim. Right? So directions, instructions. So many of the Torah, the directions, instructions, the various different specific direction instructions of the sacrifices given to Jah people are repeated. Though this time Moses addressed HaKohanim, he addressed the priest directly. So let's note this. Why is this important? Because we have the Levites, HaLewim, the Lewim, or in the Amharic Lewavion, the Levites, and then we have the priests. The priests, the sons, Aaron and his sons, they are Levites, but not all the Levites, the tribe of Levi, are priests. The only ones who are priests are Aaron and his sons. So here, this time, Moshe, he addressed HaKohanim, the Kahanat, right, directly, and he provided additional details. Now here we get additional details, paying attention to the details and that revelation of Jah's divinity, even the details and the glory of his majesty, even when we said the details about how to perform. How were they instructed? What was the pattern of their performing their functions? For example, HaKohanim, the priests, were to ensure, first item here, one of the first items, they were to ensure that the fire, the Aish, and the fire in Hebrew is interesting. The fire is feminine, right? The fire is feminine. And we're pointing to the male and the female, the double helix, in order to see the revelation of the divinity of his majesty, where he says that man, right, man was created, right, not emanated. Man was created in the image after likeness, male and female, he created them. And then as we study, we get to see some interesting nuances, like while mentioning the fire. The fire is feminine because it becomes interesting in certain verses, the braiding, you know, of he and she, right? But it is his fire, right? The fire belongs to he who be, we be. That the fire, right, of the altar never went out. That the fire of the altar, this continual fire, this idea even among I and I called chosen the faithful Rastafari, of that itinual fire, and that the whole burnt offering known as the Olah was consumed as it burnt throughout the night. Now, also another interesting note that, you know, sacrifice could be brought like in a day, but they would be burnt at night. Now, additional rules and regulations concerning the removal of ashes, of the ashes from HaMizbeach, removing the ashes from the place of sacrifice. Now, the portion here of the offerings that were given to the Kohanim, to the priests, as well as the cleansing of the utensils are also given. Now, each priest, now we're speaking about Aaron and his sons, also we're speaking about the anointed ones, the messiahs in the camp. In the New Testament sense, we could say, the Christians, right, in the camp, right, the anointed ones, each priest was obliged to bring a grain offering, a mincha. Mincha in the Hebrew, some might say mincha, modern Hebrew, mincha, right, on the day that he served in the sanctuary. as a Kohen Gadol, the high priest. And let's note this right here, that in Hebrews, Yeshua HaMoshiach is Ayin Ha High Priest. And the called, chosen, and faithful of the disciples and the apostles and the true believers in Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, they are the anointed ones and called to be the priesthood. So this idea that we get in the New Testament, the pattern, we find it here in the what's called the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scripture. So the high priest was required to bring a grain offering. We're speaking about the mincha. The mincha is a grain offering or a bloodless offering. Take note that in the KJV Bibles, the grain offering is called the meat offering. Now, we don't think that this is, was an attempt for them to confuse one, since back in the days when they said meat, they always was not speaking of debtors. Usually if somebody specifically wanted a meal and wanted flesh, they would say flesh. So the meat offering is really more correctly for us nowadays is the meal offering. That will help to avoid some of the possible confusion. So now the high priest was required to bring the mincha, the grain offering, or a bloodless offering each day. Half of that was burnt upon the mizbeach, the altar, in the morning, and the other half in the afternoon. Now, once this right here is being instituted, this means that it's only the mizbeach, the altar, in the tabernacle, we say courtyard of the tabernacle, is the only place for sacrifice, is the only approved place for sacrifice. Now, let's just take note, just as a point of reference here with this Shabbat Zakor right here, with the Jeremiah reading, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 21 to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 3, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 22 to 24. There's a key word there where Jehovah says to the prophet Jeremiah, Ermias, he says that he did not command them sacrifices and burnt offerings in the day. The only thing he commanded is that, you know, we hear and obey his voice. Now, recall the children of Israel, they said, right, initially in the beginning, back in Exodus chapter 19, they said all that Jehovah has said, you know, we will hear, you know, we will do. They said we will do and we will be obedient or we will hear, but the word hear and obey in the Hebrew is very much connected. So when the children, the B'nai, the sons of Yisrael said that all that Jehovah has said, we will do and obey, that there can be and should be understood as we will obey and we will hear and we will be obedient. But it's very clear that once Moshe, right, did not come down when they expected him to come down from Har Sinai, they returned, as it says, a dog returns to its vomit. Jah brought the children, the B'nai Yisrael, out of Egypt, but they still had a lot of the, you could say, the religion, the spirituality, or a lot of the different, you know, they still had a lot of Egypt in them. Right. And this is significant because once they basically went to Aaron with the whole molten calf thing, falsely called the golden calf, they had broke the covenant. So another point that we like to emphasize right here is the principle that we have of the new covenant, the Brit Chadasha, is actually brought out right here in the Brit HaYeshana, or what's referred to as the Old Covenant, right? In other words, they entered into a covenant, they gave the word. Now, Moshe, he went up to the mountain, right? He went up to the mount to, like, you know, officiate this process. It's like one negotiates, comes into a contractual, transactional agreement, right? And Moses, they called for Moses to be their middleman, so to speak. They all could have been, not all maybe, but still they could have maybe received what Moses was receiving up in the mountain, but they did not want to go into the cloud, the thick darkness in the cloud. They were afraid after they heard Jah speak those 10 words. And those 10 words right here, this is why we like to share this, because the words for I and I, called chosen the faithful Rastafari, the words from I and I namesake. Hurrah.
My advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments, and elaborate on hand, If the nation for which I am the emperor follows and accepts this, since it's also what I accept and follow, I would believe our country is not only historically Christian, but also actively Christian,
A couple of key words right there with Matthew Knopf, the 10 words, the 10 commandments with the nation, right? And nation building. So what we have here is divine, divine nation building, Now, the point of reference here we'd like to share right here is Exodus. It's like, hold on. Yeah, it's Exodus, Exodus chapter 19 right here, where Moshe, he went up to Ha'elohim, to Elohim, and Yahweh, he who be, we be, called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus, like this, thus equals like this, shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, to the Beit Yaakov, the house of Jacob, and tell the Bnei Yisrael, and tell the sons of Israel, bringing out the true sense of this. Say to the house of Jacob, Yaakov, all those descended from Jacob, man, woman, and child, and tell the sons of Israel, the Bnei Yisrael, ye all have seen what I did to Ha-Mitzrayi, to the Egyptian, the Kemet to you, right? And how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Let's pause right here for a moment. Now, we all should be a little familiar of ancient Kemet and Mitzrayim, some of their symbologies right here. Now, Jehovah is saying this to the Bnei Yisrael. They just came out of Egypt, and now he uses this word pick right here. Check out the word pick. He says that y'all have seen what I did to Ha-Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is what we refer to from the Hebrew, the Egyptians. Those are the Mitzrayim of Upper and Lower Egypt. But what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bear you, right, how I bear you, like carried you on eagle's wing. So that's symbology right there of the wing, yes? And brought you to myself. So what Jah is doing here is giving them the true context of these symbologies that are the shared heritage of all humanity. But Egypt, ancient Egypt, becomes that mouthpiece and that kind of that point of reference. Right, so the wings, the symbol of the wings, the Betutent Heru, the wings, right? Brought them out on the wings, right? Verse 5, it says here, Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if, note that word right there, if is a conditional. It's another important point that we like to emphasize, because there's some who say, whether in the Old Testament, or actually more in the New Testament sense, because anybody who really seriously reads the foundation shouldn't really be saying that all this is unconditional, like this unconditional rhetoric that we hear certain Christians and well-meaning some folks, some might know better, but some might just repeat what they hear about unconditional, unconditional. There's always conditions, right? There are some things that are unconditional, but here is a condition. Coming into this covenant is a condition. Jah said to Moses to speak to the house of Jacob, man, woman, and child, and to tell the sons of Israel, y'all have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bear you, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if, that's the key word right there, if, right? Now, therefore, if y'all, will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, Then ye, then y'all, you all y'all shall be a peculiar treasure, right? A peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Did you know that Yisrael was called as well, Israel is called Most High? Did you know that John says that Israel is called to be Most High? In other words, Most High, the context here is where he says above all people, right? Above all people, above all people. He says that if you do what I instruct you to do and hear and take heed to my voice, you will be Most High of all nations. All nations. John seeks a certain divine order, right? Verse 6, it says, and ye and y'all shall be to me, to I, a kingdom, or the modern sense of the word that we know, a government, right, of the priests, a government, a kingdom of priests, a government of the priesthood, and an holy nation. Now mark that there in the words that we heard of his divine majesty, right, concerning the nation. Right, concerning the nation, right? These 10 words, right? These the words, the barim, that thou shalt speak to the Bnei Yisrael. These were the words that Moshe was commanded to speak to the sons, to whom more is given, more is required, to the sons of Yisrael, for them not to man up in this Isla, this holy, this divine covenant. Verse 7 says, and Moshe came and called for the elders. So Moses now keeping to the order. He called for who? The elders of the people. So it's not wrong when we call on the elders of your people, and laid before their faces all the words that Jehovah commanded him. Now this Torah reading and feeding is interesting because this Torah reading and feeding is called command. Chal is azacho, command. So Moses was commanded right here in Exodus chapter 19, right? Then we move forward right here to verse 8. Now here the Scofield Study Bible, that has a note here between verse 7 and verse 8 in Exodus chapter 19. It says the fifth dispensation. Here it says law, right? Law. And then it says extends to the cross. The fifth dispensation. So here they're saying that here we're in this fifth dispensation now with the covenant to Yisrael, right, as well as the 10 words, the 10 commandments of Yisrael. And this here, right, extends all the way to the Mescal, right, to the cross of Nazaretu Jesus, Yeshua HaNotri. But we'll pick up on that soon, right? But here it says Exodus chapter 19, verse 8 to Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. Again, Exodus chapter 19, verse 8. To Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, all right? So here first, let's just read Exodus chapter 19, verse 8. And all the people answered. Now, after Moshe came forward, right, to the elders and laid it before their faces, the words, these words, as we also laid before I and I, brothers and sisters, but the brethren, especially in the first position of Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Rastafari, right, before I and I ears, all these words. Now, all the people, upon hearing what Moshe said, right, what Jah said, all the people answered together and said, all that Jehovah has spoken, we will do. Now, this is the first place they say this. They say, we will do. Furthermore, as the covenant is being fulfilled, they say, we will do, right, and we will obey. Right, we will do and obey. But in the Hebrew, it comes out more or less like all that he said we will do, right, we will do and we will hear. So in a sense, the word to hear also has an implication in the Afro-Semitic languages like Hebrew and also in Amharic. It has a second sense of hearing and obedience. It's like how we may say, speaking to somebody, say, you feel me? You feel me? It's not literally do they feel us, but do they really get what we're saying? Do they hear what we're saying and they feel it? You know, they're in agreement. Now, Moses, upon hearing what the people said, that all that Jehovah has spoken, we will do. So what did Jah speak? Let's go here again, rightly dividing the word. Okay, what did they He said to them, now therefore, if y'all will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then y'all shall be a peculiar treasure to I above all people, for all the earth is mine, and y'all shall be to I a kingdom of the priesthood, and a holy, a set apart nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the sons of Israel. So the people said that all that Jehovah has spoken, we will do. But what do you think they were focusing on? Because what John said is that if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then y'all will be a peculiar treasure to me above all people. So it seems as though answer or the response should say that we will hear your voice. We'll listen to you. You know, we'll obey your voice. We'll obey your voice and we'll keep your covenant. But they say something interesting here. They say that all that Jehovah has, that means what he already has said, we will do. So which part of what Jah has said that they will do? All right. Well, let's take it that they said that they will obey, right, his voice indeed, and they will keep his covenant. All right. So now as we just go through this right here, oh, I said I was going to go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. You know, when we see these notes, it's sometimes good to follow up and see if it makes sense, if we can make sense out of these notes, right? And if not, then come, make I and I reason. But here, Matthew chapter 27, verse 27, here we go right here. This verse right here says, the law fulfilled in Christ, the law fulfilled in Moshiach. Interesting right there, because the law here is also being fulfilled for the children of Israel, the sons of Israel, through the Levites, and in particular through the priests, the anointed. They are the ones who will offer all the sacrifices on behalf of the sons of Israel. But here it says in verse 35, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. That's kind of interesting considering Purim. Purim means lots, like rolling the dice. Casting lots that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Hanabi, by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. It's interesting there, just the word lots, seeing, you know, knowing the Hebrew of it is the pur. Pur is one of the words for a lot or like a dice. They rolled a dice because while Moshiach was being crucified on the cross of his tree, or the tree of his cross, while he was being crucified there, the Roman centurions, you know, they were there rolling the dice, as it were, for his garments and his vesture, right? Just pointing to that right there. And let's get this verse here. This is, so by the prophet, note that it, when it says that it might be fulfilled, right, that was spoken by the prophet, we have Psalm 22, verse 18. Remember how the new covenant says that David, not only being a king and not only being the anointed king, right, but he was a prophet as well. So in the Psalms, we have prophecy, you know, like, with Ethiopia, this man was born there. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall stretch forth her hands to God. You know, we have prophecies, you know, like that, right there. So here, the people were entering into the covenant, right? The people were entering into the covenant right here. And then the next thing that we get right here, right? The next thing that we get right here is chapter 20. And chapter 20 has what His Majesty reminds I and I of, the 10 words. And what does Gormawi Ngusin against His Imperial Majesty says? He says, my advice to all. To what? All. He was asked concerning young people, but he said his advice to all is to fulfill the 10 commandments of 10 words. Now, when you go to chapter 20, well, this is like just a basic foundation to put these matters into context. When you go to chapter 20, after the 10 words, right, in verse 18, right, chapter 20, verse 18, it says, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings. Interesting to see the thunderings. Usually we hear thunderings, but, right, saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. All right, so when the people, this is right after Jehovah spoke these words. Remember that the 10 words called the 10 commandments were spoken by Elohim Ha'av, was spoken by Jehovah. So they heard essentially the voice of the Father. They heard Jehovah speaking. But when they heard that and they saw the thunderings, the lightnings, the noise of the shofar, the ram's horn, and the mountain was smoking, they didn't want that smoke, right? When the people saw that, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moshe, speak thou, the I with I and I, and we, I and I, will hear. But let not Hailehim Elohim, the power, speak with us, lest we die. And then Moshe responds and says to the people, fear not, for Elohim has come to prove you. I mean, didn't they say what they said? All right. It's come to prove you. And that his fear, his reverence, or as I and I say, his respect, respectfully speaking, may be before your faces, before your perception, your presence, that ye sin not, that you don't uck up. And the people stood, again, it emphasizes that the people stood, even after what Moshe said to them, the people stood afar off. And Moshe drew near to the thick darkness where Elohim was. This is interesting. The people were, it's like the king is there in the audience hall, and you say, oh, no, I don't really feel like going in, you know, but you go in, whatever the king tells you, I'm going to listen to. Question, what was that about? We say that was about what occurs and what happens in about, how many chapters is this? In about, when we get to chapter 32, happens in 12 chapters, right? When we go 12 chapters ahead, we get the molten calf, a.k.a. falsely called the golden calf. But look what it said right here in Exodus chapter 20, right? 12 chapters earlier. It says, and Jehovah said to Moses, right? After Moses drew near, after he told the people, hey, don't be afraid and all of that, right? Jah just comes to prove you. In other words, Jah trusts what you said, but now he's come to verify. You know, trust, but verify. You say such and such. Okay, I have no evidence to disbelieve you, but I'm going to trust your word. Now, if you don't keep that, then I might question it. So John says to Moses, thus thou shalt say to the sons of Israel, the B'nai Yisrael, you have seen that I have talked. See, this is John spoke to them directly. See, I have, you all, have seen that I have talked, seen, even how we use that saying as Rastafari, right? The elders of Rastafari, man, I reason with you. And he say, seen your sight. Notice what Josh says right here. Y'all have seen what? That I have talked with you. I have talked with you from heaven. So usually somebody talk to you, it's usually you, do you hear that? But with the thunder and the lightning and the trumpet, all of that was synonymous with his voice and with him talking to them from heaven. And then he says this in verse 23. Here's the key. Remember, the people said all that Jah said, we will do. We're going to do what you said. He says, you know, if, you know, it's up to you. If, you know what I mean, you will obey to my voice, you know, and keep my covenant. And he said, all that Jah has said, we will do, especially the son of Israel. First up, right? The responsibility to the mandem, right? Because the mandem, not the woman, went to, you know, Aaron and said, yo, we need an idol, right? But John now here says, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from Shemayim, from the heavens. Verse 23, ye y'all shall not make with me gods or Elohim, right? Elohim of silver, neither shall ye y'all make to you gods of gold. Basically what Jehovah is saying, don't do as the Canaanites have done with me. Remember, Jah is the landlord. Can a landlord, you know, kind of terminate somebody's lease or contract on the land? If the landlord said, you know, I had these people living, you know, in my property, I told them when they first signed the lease and everything not to do this, not to do that, and they keep doing that. I keep telling them, stop doing this, you know, and they keep doing this. So what John basically is telling them, so when you see some people say that, oh, is a kid like God, look, we found a statue over here, and look, it's made of gold. Oh, wow. That's interesting. No wonder he kicked them out. And no wonder he instructs the children of Israel before he brings them in that y'all should not make with me with I gods of silver. Remember, this is before, right? This is before the golden so-called calf, right? Neither shall ye make to you gods of gold. Now, let's just scroll forward 12 chapters, right, to Exodus. This is what's called in the scripts, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's scroll forward 12 chapters. And what do they say to Aaron? Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moshe delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron. And they said to him, up, make us gods. Then make us gods. Wouldn't that be like make to us? All right, somebody said, don't make to you gods of gold. And then you say to somebody else, like, hey, up, get up, make to us, make to me god of gold. Boom. So caught them right here, even though they already demonstrated something was not right, that their conscience, they had some guiltiness, they had something in them, right, that they did not want to get close to Jah. They did not want to enter into, you know, the thick darkness where Elohim was. Only Moshe, right, only Moses entered in. And then Jah says, you are not to make to you gods of silver, and you're not to make to me gods of gold, gods of gold. So I just point that out right there, because after they did that, there was a judgment. After they did that, basically, the covenant was off. They had broke the terms and conditions. Wouldn't you say that's breaking the terms and conditions, brothers and sisters? Wouldn't that be, like, if that's in your book? All right, don't look at it like it's us and we're going to make an excuse for ourselves. But no, look at it like you present this term and condition to someone, right, and they do that very thing. You know what I mean? You're a Hebrew, Israelite, and you say to people who are not Hebrew, Israelites, you know what, you can dwell on my land, my property, but don't make to me gods of silver and don't make to you gods of gold, right? And they go ahead and do that very thing. Would you think that they have not broken their word, their agreement? All right? So I point that out because that right there was the effective terminating of their priestly rights. In other words, before Exodus, we could say Exodus, the book of Exodus, right? Before what we have here in Exodus, the firstborn sons of Yisrael, the heads, the patriarchs of the families, they were the priests. They could offer sacrifice as Abraham did in places that he chose, right? As Isaac did in places that he chose, right? And as Jacob did as well in places that they chose, as others no doubt also could do. But now, after they had said what they had said, I remember he said he wanted it to be a nation, right, of the priests. That means everyone in the nation. He didn't say, I just want the Levites. But now he chooses the Levites exclusively. I just want the ones to kind of to bring home that particular point right there. Because in the new covenant, it seems as though that right is returned, right, first to the Yehudi, first to the Jew, right, and maybe then to the Gentile, but definitely first to the Israelite through our high priest, right, and also that perfect offering, Yeshua HaMoshiach. So just to make that kind of connection with it being cut off, the right of sacrificing, right, being cut off from the sons of Israel. In other words, they could sacrifice, yeah, symbolically, they brought the offering, but it was the priests who actually put in that work and did the work. They could not decide, well, you know what, I'm not going to go to Aaron and sons. I'm not going to go to the sanctuary. I'm going to go over here and sacrifice over here. I'm going to worship where I want to worship. I'm not going to go to the church in the wilderness. So the temple, the tabernacle was the church in the wilderness. It was the one appointed place, right? The one appointed place for sacrifice. Yes, I, Rastafari. So tell me, who is Jah Tabernacle?
Jah Tabernacle, way over, all of Mount Zion. Jah Tabernacle, Jah Tabernacle, oh, all of Mount Zion. Tell me who Jah shall abide. Tell me who shall abide in that tabernacle. It's only them that have love. Tell me who shall abide in that tabernacle. majesty I shall tender with the roller wings of Zion. It's only them and those who walk it in the road of righteousness and seek at the truth within their heart shall enter in the whole of the whole of tabernacle of Jah. Yeah, yeah, oh, oh. Yeah. Tell me who just shall abide in thy tabernacle. Oh, tell it to me. Tell me who just shall abide in thy tabernacle. Only them that have love, it's only them that willing to do the work of Jah shall go to Mount Zion and live. Only them that know the name of His Majesty and accept it to all who shall live. Only them who care for the people and love the people and love the world. It's only them shall enter in the tabernacle full of Mount Zion. Yeah, that's why I ask in joy for the things that we need, the things that we need, the things that we need in life, the things that we need in life to make our mind feel comfortable. Tell me, shall abide in thy tabernacle. Only them who love Him, tell me, just shall abide in thy tabernacle. Tell it to me. I have something with precious for the whole wide world to listen to now. Oh, shall help me. I'm willing for your help. I need a little thing, food, clothes, and shelter, and health and strength. Love and liberty, and love and liberty, all over the land. For the people, Jah people, bo 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 bo, tell me who just shall abide in thy tabernacle and go to Zion.
And here, here, Sunday service, first day service, right here, here, here. Yes,
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, Selah, Selah.
So me no know if the money them a run down. Why them we look about them judgments and them not look to the east. So me for the money them a run down. Why them we look about them judgments and I know them not see. So me a lot of judgment and them not know where judgments appear from. Boy must it take rock me volunteer and but I'm like Job and I'm like Aaron. Man and a father Albert, man a father Abram. Words in my mouth and the body in my right and come to separate the good, the good, the good from the gun. Yes, me have the one, the United Nation. One as the Russian, the one named Clinton. Here's a them go out to the Pope and Satan. But I see Pope, yeah, man have the send the vaccination. And God, he be still a sickle division. Not a prompt in me nation, not the money.
money them a run down. Why them really look about them judgments and them not look to the east? Tell me for the money them a run down. Why them really look about them judgments and I know them not see the bubble man, them a not trouble. Dropping me turban and me dropping me robe. Some say them a me friend but them a too wet this sword. Never seen me with me burden, much less with me load. I'm for a philosophy of me from the road. You not read Zion, you not know the road code. Them not want me drive Benz and all Lexus and Ford. Me suffer them down like a toad. And the money them a run down. Why them really go about down judgment and them not look to the east? Tell me for the money them a run down. Why them really go about down judgment and I know them to see them.
I and I say this to say that in the abundance of water the pool is thirsty, thirsty. But if our water is available but it's in little empty, 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 empty. In the abundance of food the pool is hungry, hungry. But if our food is not in those parts but it's in belly empty, empty, empty. Life is what you make it, so believe it or not. The wise man built his house on top of the rock. If you go build it on the sun, then you're a fully idiot. Some of them must be taken when you think it's yap. Foundation of the deep and strong. Fall off the footsteps of the wise man. How you pick us up, no pin a sinking sand. In a little world of competition. In the abundance of water, the pool is level but still in vessel empty, 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 empty. It's done and that boat better must come. After all that has been said and after all that has been done, you better reach it what you need and you won't get done. Cause a rattle race in the world we live in. Everyone just a program to win. To what we watch how the pendulum swing. I'm on with take your ear and you don't get a thing. The fool now go get it in the thing can shake. Now go get it in the woke up and sweat.
Yes, raga, raga, raga. Them couldn't stop me, no time, no time. Oh, raga, raga. Oh, raga, raga, raga. Victory is mine. Let me say yes, raga, raga. Yes, raga, raga, raga. Them couldn't stop me, no time. Well, them won't get me out, but it's not an easy task. Them tried many times before and couldn't pay the cost. So now them a smile, but we know it's just a mask. They want till we have to, we know what's in the box. But when we beat you alive, we saw it's what we need. Mr. Me get a little younger. His life needs more ties, I'll do what them criticize. Till we overcome them disaster. Oh, raga, raga. Oh, raga, raga, raga. Victory is mine. And we say, oh, raga, raga. Yes, raga, raga, raga. Them couldn't stop me, no time, no time. Oh, raga, raga. Oh, raga, raga, raga. Victory is mine.
I'm rushing for road, they really think I'm fighting for road, they really think we'll win this war, yeah. Oh, they really think I'm rushing for road, they really think I'm fighting for road, they really think we'll win this war. Hey, they know no love, and they show no love. I see they grow no love, that's why they grow no love. Well, love is the only thing they think they know, oh, oh, oh. They are so hard to tempt that I grow. Oh, oh, oh. Me, my dad, me father, all of them tell me so. Oh, oh, oh. Hey, don't talk about the type people in the blow. I can already hear this whistle in life we low. Lift that broad road and take the one narrow. The broad road will lead to the pain and sorrow. Blood for all and a gun in a barrow. So ask them, who do you really think I'm rushing for? Who do you really think I'm fighting for? Who do you really think we'll win this war? Who do you really think I'm rushing for? Who do you really think I'm fighting for? Who do you really think we'll win this war? Hey, they know no love. And they show no love. Hey, they grow no love. That's why they grow no love.
Yeah. trust that. Keep your head up. Look for long. We've been tried in your road. Keep your head up. Please don't let the pressure get us down. Keep your head up. Look for long. King Selassie, I set a free. Keep your head up. The love of each other. Now we've got to be.
You know I don't want to let the baby will begin. How can the youth gonna start?
Is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, 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 Selah.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi, Inflatia.
The whole place is too much.
Help, 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 help.
Everything takes time.
ሰንበትና ያከብረም ሰው ሁሉ ጻድቅ ነው። ወደ እግዚአብሔር አምልኮ ይገባ ከምእመናና ይለየኝ የሆነ ፈጽሞ አይበል። ጽድቅን የሰራ ሰንበትን ያከብረም ሰው ሁሉ ጻድቅ ነው። Blessed is he who does truth and honors the Sabbath. Let him not question whether he would be outcast from the multitudes if he was to enter into the worship of the sustainer. Blessed is he who does truth, righteousness, and honors the Sabbath. The Senvet.
Yeah. Get away. Not to Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
God bless you for coming to the show tonight. God bless your day.
Yeah. They always sing to him songs of praise.
The true teaching.
The Ethiopian church belongs to the monophysite group of churches which teach that Christ had one nature, that his humanity and divinity became one without intermixing, and that his divinity never separated from his humanity.
In which our Lord himself gave the command to go to all the world and to preach is also of high value.
אלה שבוכים עכשיו הם עוד יתחקו ברוך השם יש לנו את החירות לבחור ממשיך קדימה לא נשאר מאחור הכוח הוא בהתמדה כן ורק בסוף הדרך סופרים את הקופה יש כבוד יש
מזמור תפגלת, ודוד מזמור לאדוני הארץ ומלואה תבל ויוש ורק כי הוא על ימים ישדה ועל נהרות יכונניה מי יעלה בהר אדוני ומי יקום במקום קודשו וכי חפיים עובר לבב אשר לא נסע לשאר נפשי ולא נשבע למרמה יישא ורחה מאת אדוני וצדקה מאלוהי ישעו זה דור דורשיו מבקשי פניך יעקב סל שאו שערים רעשכם והנשאו פתחי עולם ויבוא מלך הכבוד מי זה מלך הכבוד אדוני עזוז וגיבור אדוני גיבור מלחמה שאו שערים רעשכם ושאו פתחי עולם ויבוא מלך הכבוד מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד אדוני צבאות הוא מלך הכבוד סלע 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 סלע
קדמאווי קדמאווי אינפלציה
The whole place is due for help.
כבוד עלק, תקשיב
יש כבוד יש
לאנשים שהאמינו
יש כבוד יש
ואלה שהאמינו
יש כבוד יש
לאריות ונמרים אין כבוד אין לנחשים וצרועים
יש כבוד יש
בינינו לאלוהינו
יש כבוד יש
אנחנו לא לבדנו
יש כבוד יש
לסבלנות של שנים אין כבוד אין לנרקומנים לשקלים כבוד לאלה שאיתנו כבר שנים ואלה שעברו את הזמנים הקשים אלה שלא רואים רק את הזרקורים אלה חברים אחים, אלה הגברים אלה שהבדילו בין עיקר לטפל זה שמברך אותך מול זה שמקלל אלה שהבדילו בין חרות לעדל אלה שעבדו בשמש לא חיכו בצל אלה שהיו אחד בפה, אחד בלב אלה שהבינו מי נותן ומי חולב אלה שהבינו בין חבר לאויב הם שאהבו אותי אותם אני אוהב כי
יש כבוד יש
לאנשים שהבינו
יש כבוד יש
ואלה שהבינו
יש כבוד יש
לאריות ונמרים אין כבוד אין לנחשים וצבועים
יש כבוד יש
בינינו לאלוהינו
יש כבוד יש
אנחנו לא לבד לסבלנות של שנים אין כבוד אין לנרקומנים לשקלים מציע לכל אלה שראו והאמינו אלה שרצו לשמוע אלה שהפנימו אלה שאכלו את ההצלחה ולא השמינו רק אתכם רצינו ואיתכם בנינו אלה שחיפו נקי ולא רצו למעוך אלה שהלכו ליד ולא חיפשו לדרוך אלה שתמיד ידעת יש על מי לסמוך גם כשהיה קשה אדם בלי למשוך אלה שהייתי כשעוד נראיתי מוזר אלה שהביטו קצת קדימה למחר אלה נשארו כשכל הרעש נגמר מי שלא נשבר עומד מול זה שנמכר כי
יש כבוד יש
לאנשים שהבינו
יש כבוד יש
ואלה שהבינו
יש כבוד יש
לאריות ונמרים אין כבוד אין לנחשים וצבועים
יש כבוד יש
בינינו לאלוהינו
יש כבוד יש
אנחנו לא לבדנו
יש כבוד יש
לסבלנות של שנים אין כבוד אין לנרקומנים לשקלים
יום יבוא
אלה שצוחקים עכשיו יבכו, אלה שבוכים עכשיו הם עוד יצחקו יום יבוא. אלה שצוחקים עכשיו יבכו, אלה שבוכים עכשיו הם עוד יצחקו. ברוך השם, יש לנו את החירות לבחור, ממשיך קדימה לא נשאר מאחור. הכוח הוא בהתמדה, כן, ורק בסוף הדרך סופרים את הקופה. יש כבוד, יש
Yes, 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 kabod, yes. There is glory, there's glory, aish. Well, yes is like there is, aish is fire glory, yes.
Hakadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
Hallelujah.
Shabbat day corresponded the 19th, March 19th, Gregorian calendar, that corresponded with Psalm 27, and there was a reason, man, yeah, what was that reason, man? I think we just, oh, about the cross, and extending from where the children of Israel said that all that Jah has said that we will, you know, we will do, and then what they done did after they said that, and how the covenant was broken to sons of Israel, but only restored through the Levites, the tribe of Levi, and in particular through Aaron and sons. So the rite of sacrifice, the Jah command sacrifices right here. We're going to write up on little extras, but looking at the time right here and the 29 questions here, on the basic questions, so we can get a better, you know, context and look at the mechanics, look at the pattern recognition right here. So interesting that Psalm 22 comes up here in the season, you know, for new light, Psalm 22. And this is in connection with what we have from Exodus, you know, Exodus chapter, let's just bring this up right here, brothers and sisters. Let's go into these questions, a couple more reasonments. And if we do have some time, some of the additional reasonments on Psalm 27. But in seeing that the new day or first day Psalm, the Psalm for the 22nd, well, actually, the psalm for the 20th is the 22nd psalm. Yeah, let's just do this right here, brothers and sisters. Okay, we're in Exodus here. Just to go to that notation that we had cited before, we shared the evening psalm for the first day. That's Psalm 24, as well as the Sabbath seal psalm, Psalm 144, and the Barakah, the blessing. The blessing for the new Shabuah or the new strong, seeing that Sunday is the first day, keeping the seventh day, and here for the first day service. Let's touch on this right here, brothers and sisters. So here in the fifth dispensation, here we have the fifth dispensation, Exodus chapter 19. We zoomed in on 19 and 8, where it says, and all the people answered together and said, all the men, mainly the elders and the sons of Israel, they said, all that Jehovah has spoken we will do. And Moshe, he returned the words of the people to Jehovah. Now, here is where they're entering into the covenant. And here, the fifth dispensation, according to the Scofield study, this is called law, right, or the dispensation of law. This dispensation extends from Sinai, it is said, to Calvary, right, from the Exodus to the Mescal, the finding of the true cross. Thus, the history of Israel, in the wilderness and in the land is one long record of the violation of HaTorah, the testing of the nation by Torah or by the law. It ended in the judgment of the captivity. Even when we talk about the 400 years, this last of the captivities. But the dispensation itself ended, the dispensation, that time, and his times he shall shew. So there are different times, time periods. But the dispensation itself ended at the Mescal, at the true cross. One, the human being state at the beginning. And here we have Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 4. Secondarily, his responsibility. So here when we look at Israel, we're looking at one corporate man. So we're looking at the I and I. The I as the whole nation, you know, all the members of one body, right, with the Rosh, the Ras, the head, right, Messiah as the head. And then we're also looking at each individual member, right, in their individual responsibility. His responsibility, Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, as well as Romans chapter 10 in the Brit Hadasha, the New Covenant sense, Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Thirdly, his failure, the failure. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 to verse 17 and verse 19, Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. And then fourthly, we have the judgment, 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 to 6 and verse 20, and 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 1 to 11. And Luke in the New Covenant, Luke chapter 21, verses 20 to 24. So here, there are seven dispensations, right? Here, referring to the Scofield Study Bible, the first is innocence. We have Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Secondarily, we have conscience, Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, right? Then we have human government, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Then we have the hope, the expectation called the promise, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And then we have this right here, 1, 2, 3, 4. Here the fifth dispensation, Torah, right? Now after Torah, we have grace, John chapter 1, verse 17. And then the seventh of the seven dispensations is the kingdom. The government, the kingdom, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, just pointing to that right there. This is very important here, right, as we are here in the third book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that is known as Leviticus. And Leviticus gives us the pattern or the shadow, as it said, of which the new covenant, the Brit Hadashah, is the substance. So here, very important study is the pattern laid out here in the Torah, specifically here in Leviticus, and the epistle to the Hebrews, A note we have right here, as we are here with the 25th sabbatical study, the prophet's reading was Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 21. So let's connect both the Torah reading and the prophet's reading. What's the connection with this Torah, the Torah reading, the foundation, and then the Haftarah, the prophet's reading? So here we have Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 21 to chapter 8, verse 3. I think it's here in the first part of the reading, chapter 7, verse 21. And give thanks to I and I, fellow Haber, fellow disciple, yes, I, Brother Sahar Ahad, for the read right there of the Haftarah, the prophet's reading. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 21 to chapter 8, verse 3, and Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 22, verse 24. Here, Jeremiah, Yeremiah, in the Amharic, Aramaic, Yeremiah. Jeremiah 7:21, thus saith Yahuwah Tzabaoth, Elohei Yisrael, thus saith Jehovah of hosts of armies, the Elohim, the power of Israel, put your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat flesh. I know many of you and I, you know, in the new name, fire bun. Well, they might have said the same thing, but here is somewhat of an irony, right? An irony. So here the Haftarah picks up with this verse right here. This is the message in the gate, the dedge, like dedge asmach, in the gate of Jehovah's house right here. Thus saith Yahuwah Tzabaoth, Jehovah of hosts of armies, Elohei Yisrael, the Elohim of Yisrael, put your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat flesh. Verse 22, for I spake not to your fathers. Here the prophet is giving some reproof, some clarity, right? Some clarity on some matters that no doubt were misunderstood and maybe still misunderstood. So Jehovah of armies, the Elohim, the Ha'elohim of Yisrael, is telling them to put your burnt offerings to your sacrifice and go ahead and eat debtors. Verse 22, for I spake not to your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the land of the Hetkapita, Egypta, Gibbet, Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. Let's pause right here. I've heard some people bring this out and say, the Torah wasn't really given by Jah Jehovah, but, you know, they make all kind of convoluted things because they're misunderstanding some of these subtexts. They're not looking at the context, right, of, you know, the full text and the context. Here, Jah is saying to Jeremiah to say to the people that he did not speak to the patriarchs, nor did he command them in the day. Reading comprehension is important. In the what? In the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. So what we have in both Exodus, especially at Sinai, and what we have in Leviticus is not the day. In fact, the tabernacle was what built about, what, the second year or so after, right, they came out. So it's not the day. Right. What Jah is saying that in the day that he brought the forefathers and the patriarchs out, it wasn't about burnt offerings and sacrifices. Right. It was not about the burnt offerings and sacrifices. So we have a footnote here. Interesting footnote here for those of the disciples that got the Scofield Study Bible. Highly recommended from low degrees to high degrees. Some very good points of reference so we can rightly divide scripture here next to nor commanded. As this Shabbat Torah reading, the Tzau is a Zacho, command them, is about the command. But this is not the day. This is not the day that Jehovah brought the children of Israel out. There was a Pesach, right? And then they forwarded. It wasn't about burnt offerings and sacrifices, right? He did not command them, right? But in verse 23, he says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Elohim, your power, your source, and you, y'all, shall be Ami, my people, and walk and trod, y'all, in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well, that it may be well with you, that may be well with you. I got to share this again right here, brothers and sisters. You know, hope that I don't get tired to hear His Majesty's voice or this little clip right here. But just the first part of this clip right here from Gotamawi Nagusa.
Mom.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Now, the part here in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, directly connects, this is on rightly dividing the word, right? Precept upon precept, line upon line. It begins here in our studies, precept upon precept. So what is Josh saying here in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 21, we're here to verse 23. This is a short section here. What's he saying? He's saying basically that they had already done so much goofy stuff and so much lawless and off stuff. Go ahead, eat that is, go ahead, do that. Because you know what? I didn't speak to your patriarchs nor commanded them all this sacrifice and offering. In fact, even Leviticus is put there because the people didn't know how to wait. The Mandan didn't know how to wait till Moshe returned. They got bummy, right? After they gave their word, all that Jehovah has said, let's just point this out, Exodus chapter 19, verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that Jehovah have spoken, we will do. Right? And then furthermore in Exodus chapter 24 and 7, right, chapter 24 and 7, we just say rightly dividing the word, right? In chapter 24 and 7, now at this point in Exodus chapter 24, right, John has spoken to the people, we have Exodus chapter 20, the 10 words. After that, we have the judgments, right, the judgments, the Mishpatim. The judgments basically are, okay, here, let's do this right here so we can break down. Judgments govern the social life of Israel, the social life, the judgments, right? There's a threefold giving of HaTorah. Note the pattern, the Trinity, right? The Hebrew Trinity, the true Trinity, right? The triunity. There's a threefold giving of HaTorah. When we look at Exodus chapter 20, round about verse 4, and the note there, the command concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices was not given to the people, to Jah people, till they had broken the Decalogue. Check. So the commandment concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices was not given to the people when they were brought out of Egypt, out of Mitzrayim, out of the Hetkapetah Egypta, Gibbet, out of Egypt, Kemet, if you please. All right, but Mitzrayim here in the scripture was not given to the people till they had broken the Decalogue. What is the Decalogue? The Decalogue means Deca, 10, Logo, Logia, 10 words, the 10 words. Esaret HaDibarim, what you just heard his Matthew speak about when he was asked about his advice to young people in these days and time. He said, my advice to all is that they fulfill the 10 commandments. So this is what we're speaking about. So after he had broke the law of obedience, remember what they said in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7? And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, basically the terms and conditions, like you're negotiating some transactional contract or covenant. You know, you say, okay, this, okay, yeah, I agree to that. And it's all written down, and now it's being read to you, right? And basically you're going to sign off on it. So here in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7, they follow up on what they said in Exodus chapter 19, verse 8, with a little bit of additional detail. And Moshe took the book, the Sefer, like the fragment, you know, the scroll, basically like a scroll of the covenant, and read in the audience, in the hearing of the people. And what did they say? No, you forgot a part. No, actually we said what we said was that. No, what they said, that all that Jehovah had said we will do sounds a lot like what they said in Exodus chapter 19, verse 8. But then there's this part, right? They added a rider, like a note, like in law, you had a rider statement, additional statement. And they said, and be obedient. So now we have these chapters here, which are crucial, so you can understand what it means in Jeremiah when Jah said, but this thing commanded, verse 22, for I spake not to your fathers nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Basically, to obey my voice, right, and keep my covenant. That's what he said. How do we know that? Well, we know that when we go to Exodus, rightly dividing the word, Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, he says, now, therefore, if ye. Remember, the if is a conditional, just as we have in the third book of Moshe, the Hebrew book known as Leviticus. First area, first chapter, if a man sacrifices. It's not like one has to. That's why he says, furthermore, through the prophet, through Dawit, you know, like sacrifices, you know, and burnt offerings, not what he requires. What he requires is obedience to his voice. If ye, y'all, will obey my voice indeed, and, right, plus, and, conjunction, plus, and, keep my covenant, then, and only then. You know, some folks talking about, oh, how we're going to be a nationhood. You know, we'd like you a sovereign nation. Sovereign. The sovereign is the king, even the king of kings. So we got to do it his way, right? What does he say right there? You know, my advice to all is to fulfill these same 10 words. Now, therefore, if ye, y'all, will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then y'all shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and y'all shall be to me a kingdom of the priests and an holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak to the sons of Israel, the B'nai Yisrael. So this is the terms and conditions right here. He says, if you obey my voice, indeed, for real, y'all? Okay. And keep my covenant, then you're going to be a special treasure, a treasured, you know, treasured people above all people, right? For all the earth is mine, so all the earth is his. So if you want to raise up one and put down the next, if you want to kick out the Canaanites because they got all into the making gods, L as a gold and L in silver and everything, well, he's the same today, yesterday, forever, right? And this is why he says what he says after giving the 10 words in Exodus chapter 20, right? After the people stood afar off and said, Moses, if we hear what Jah says, right, he says, thou with us and we will hear. They said this to Moses, but let not Elohim speak with us lest we die. Right? So they backed off, and then Moses went in there, and then Jah said to Moses, this is what you're going to say to the sons of Israel who have said what they just said to you. They want you to be their mediator, their intercessor. They don't want to have a direct communion just yet, right? You all have seen that I have talked with you from Shemayim, from the heavens. Y'all shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall y'all make to you gods of gold. 12 chapters later, they tell Aaron, up, make us gods. Oh, make y'all gods. Oh, and what do they contribute? The golden earrings. Okay, gods of, see, and this is before Moses even came forward, just to show you how and where they had broken their word. And then the same words that they said, all that Jehovah have said we will do. Remember, they said this before they even really heard that much. Basically, all they heard is Jehovah saying, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. And they said, all that Jehovah has said we will do. I guess that means that they're going to hear his voice and obey his covenant. Now, here in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7, when Moses now is ready to ratify the covenant, like seal the deal, like that's everything been reasoned on, the terms and conditions, now you're going to sign off on it. So he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience, the hearing of the people, and they said, all that Jehovah hath said, will we do. Almost the same exact thing as they said in Exodus chapter 19, verse 8, with this addition, and be obedient in the Hebrew, Venishma, Venishma, we and Nishma, Venishma, right? And we will hear, but the word hearing implies obedience, right? And then Moses went back up to the mount. And then we get to Exodus chapter 32 with a molten calf, right? And then we get to Moses being sent down the mount, right? Breaking the two tablets that Jehovah wrote with his own digits, digit is a finger, his own technology, his own finger. He wrote on. Moses broke that, right, and made them drink it, right? And then Moses, he stood in the gate, in the dedge as much, the dedge, the gate of the camp, and said, who is on Jehovah's side? Make him come to I. And all, and it says all, it says some of the sons, a few of them, just Moses, this Aaron, and his, no, it says all. It says what? All the sons of Levi, here in Exodus chapter 32, verse 26, and so all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. See, because Moses didn't say, all the Levites who are on my side. No, all the priests who are on my side. No, he said, who is on Jehovah's side? On Jehovah's side. Isn't this interesting? Because there must have been such guiltiness among the other sons of Israel that they couldn't even step forward. But the sons of Levi, right, they were able to step forward. Now, it's interesting because Levi, Lewi in Hebrew has a sense of joining, Lewi, and also implies love on the metaphysics, joining, right? So they were able to join Moses in this. And then Moses said to them, thus sayest Yahuwah, Jehovah, Elohei, Yisrael, the Elohim, the power of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the B'nai Lewi, the children of Levi, yeah, Lewi Lejoch, did according to the word of Moshe. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Now, those who fell, according to the context of it, were like the ringleaders, not just, it wasn't random. No, the Levites knew who was going off. They knew what the pressure that some of the other bummy sons were putting. You know, they couldn't even wait. They already had given their word and so forth and so on. Now it's like, well, we don't know what's up with Moses. We're going to have to just work things out ourselves. It sounds like what a lot of ones and ones, even with the new name, precious name, new name, Rastafari, what a lot of ones are doing too. Grabbing the name Rasta or Rastafari, but then going off doing their own thing. Remember, there is a consequence. There is a judgment. Here, Moshe Levi, a.k.a. Brother Shine. Tell us about the spirit of the Levites.
The consummation of my relationship with Hashem. Because when you go through different...
Our consummation. Remember, the consummation of our relationship with Hashem. That's to say the name, that's to say Yahweh, hey, Jehovah. When you go through these things and you run into the Rev Rav and Arasha, Rev Rav, or some say Rev Rav is like the riffraff, like people are riffraff and Arasha. Arasha is like the defiant one. Sometimes it's translated as wicked, but the word wicked in a less religious sense means defiant. You know, one just hard-headed and defiant. So hear the clip right here.
The consummation of my relationship with Hashem. Because when you go through difficulties, you can be like some of the Rev Rav and the Rasha, where they want to turn against Moshe, and they want to say, oh man, Hashem brought us here to die, and they give up. Or you can be like the Levites who killed their mother, their father, sister, anybody who was rolling with, you know, what Am Yisrael was supposed to be rolling with. But what Am Yisrael was supposed to be rolling with. But what Am Yisrael was supposed to be rolling with.
I am your creator, your king, the holy one of Israel. Bring my sons on far.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Elohim, your power, and y'all shall be my people. And walk y'all, trod y'all in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well to you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walk, but trod it in the counsels, in the imagination of their evil, their rasha, the defiant heart, and went backward and not forward. So one to one say, forward ever, or forward ever, like we're in the Ayabingi chant. I'm your holy one, the king of Israel, God of Israel. Yes, I, Rastafari, right? But he says right here, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walk, trod it in the counsels, in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers, the patriarchs, came forth out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending. Yet they hearken not to me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck, stiff-necked. They did worse, Chan, than their fathers, their patriarchs. Well, yeah, they should have learned, but they did worse. Knowing what their fathers did in the judgment, they continue to provoke the divine majesty, as some continue to do so to this very day. Even in Rasta and Rastafari, saying Rasta name, because they're going in their own imagination. Where you get this from? You know what I mean? Where did that come from? They hearken not to me, nor incline their ear, but harden their necks. Their neck, they did worse than their patriarchs, their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words to them, but they will not hearken to thee. Don't I and I know? Chan. Thou shalt also call to them, call and call, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say to them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of Jehovah, their Elohim, their power, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Like how that brings it out. Truth is perished, right? It's cut off from their mouth, right? How you know there's no truth? Because, look at them out. They're not speaking this truth of Jehovah or the truth of Kadamawi Haile Selassie, according to the teaching of his majesty. Somehow maybe they're offended in Bible or the word of the Bible. Maybe they're offended in what Jesus Christ saw, because white man whitewasher. Right? Give us a teaching of his majesty. We have 3,000 plus years. Right? Black eye and eye story. Yes, I. But here, verse 29, here's what Jah says to say to them. Cut off thine ear. When I heard the brother read this, what I said, Chan, I wanted to be like, fire, fire, my locks, my identity, my locks. Your locks ain't no identity to what? To Jah? Jah gave you other words too. You can't just keep that and don't keep this. Cut off thine ear, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For Jehovah hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. When you hear a lot of I-91 say, why this had to happen to black people? If you're talking about we black people, because we Yisrael, Israel, judgment, right? For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith Jehovah. They have set the abominations in the house that is called by my name to pollute it. Now, if we look at it even in the Revelation sense of North American Negro, this is definitely true. The children of Judah, so-called Negroes, have done evil in Jah's sight, right? They have set the abominations in the house that is called by my name to pollute it. Check this out. The house is called by Jehovah's name, but they bring in their own imaginative, crazy ideas that have nothing to do with it. It's like Rastafari, say, I and I, Rastafari, Haile Selassie. But why are you bringing in all these other things? Where did that come from? Right? You're going to the Far East. You're going up and down every little spirituality you're bringing in, but you haven't gotten the teaching of his majesty. You're polluting it. They even call a house by his name. This a house, that's a house. Every mansion is a house. Bingy, Bobo, Tobes, everybody's a house. I thought it was in my father's house, this Rastafari house. There are many mansions, but now all of them want to be their own house. They polluted it, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now, why is this so important? This is where we get the idea in the New Testament sense. You've heard of Gehenna or Gehinnom. Gehinnom, which is a symbolism in the Hebrew sense for what they call hell or the fireplace. Basically, in essence, it was a valley, this valley of the son of Hinnom. Valley in Hebrew is Gei. Gei, that's the pronunciation, Gei, Gei or Gai. Gai, Gei, Hinnom, Gei, Hinnom, Gehinnom. This is where the children of Israel in the later days threw out their trash. They would throw their trash. The garbage would be burned in the valley of Hinnom. But here it's saying they have built the high places of Tophet that is in the valley of the son of Hinnom to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. So where they were worshiping other people's Elohim, other people's God concepts, like people going all the way around the world to all kind of different, you know, religious teaching. And even if you say, well, His Majesty said get secular knowledge, you don't even have basic, the glory of His Majesty, biblical knowledge first. But you won't bring in the other people's thing. First, he says, we get a groundation in that which is ours so we can really know the truth elsewhere. Anyway, and they have built the high place of Tophet that is in the valley of the son of Hinnom to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, that I commanded them not, nor came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. All right. Basically, there's a judgment here that sounds a lot like Revelation. Let me just read these two verses here. I'm going to ride up. Here we got one minute call in if you're listening to the live stream on the Blog Talk live stream, 515-602-9761. I got the 90 seconds mark right here. Going to ride up a little bit more right here. Okay. So here it says, and the carcass of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven. A lot of the Hebrew kind of end time prophecies speak about like some great slaughter where the birds are going to be, all the wild beasts are going to have a feast, and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Now, this is all in connection, right, with the captivities, right, with the captivities that we spoke of concerning, what was it, Exodus chapter 19. In chapter 19 in Schofield Study Bible, under Exodus chapter 19, there is a reference, just once again, this particular reference right here, where it says, the history of Yisrael, of Israel in the wilderness and in the land, is one long record of the violation of Hatzalah, the violation of Jah's direct instruction, the testing of the nation by Torah, by keeping these 10 words, as Matthew says, his advice to all is to fulfill the 10 commandments, the 10 words. It ended in the judgment of the captivities, in the judgment of the captivity. So even the captivity of I and I, once lost, now found, Beta Israel, is all connected with this the first principles. You know, getting it to the first principles, getting it to the first precepts, and this is why we can apply it even to I and I in this day and time, because of the divine word right here.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord?
Why, and right, Zako, Zako, left and right. Hey, I'm here, I'm here. And them say, here comes trouble, here comes the danger. Sent by the Savior, welcome the Rasta you. I and I start recruit soldiers for Selassie I army. Aye, yeah.
Okay, first thing first, in the Army, before they even, you know, say you're a soldier, you have to go through boot camp. You know, you can put on a uniform and play soldier, but when the war really begins, soon we'll find out who's the real soldier or revolutionary. Here, 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 some of the basics right here. We're going to go through the 29 or so basic questions right here. And let's do this right here, brothers and sisters, to get an overview right here. Yes, all right. So here, the first question, because a lot of other questions no doubt will be answered by some of these basic questions, right? First question right here, 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 for this Shabbat Tzal, Senbet Izazacho, 25th sabbatical study here. First question, what is the Hebrew word for holiness? What is the Hebrew word for holiness? Kedusha. Kedusha. What is the Amharic word for holiness? Kedisina. 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 In the Amharic, Kedisina. Islandness, holiness. Kedusha in the Hebrew. Kedusha in Hebrew is the word for holiness or islandness, as we would say. But where does it come from? What's the roots? It's from the Hebrew word kadash, kadash, right? Kadash, this Afro-Semitic word kadash. What does it mean? It means to set apart. Literally, it means to set apart or to sanctify. Much confusion could be avoided because in translations, this is the underlying word, but sometimes they'll say be holy, sanctify. They'll translate it with other, even consecrate, and they'll confuse the meaning. But the word holy and holiness means to set apart. In other words, to sanctify. The saints are called kedoshim in the Hebrew, kedoshim, right? In the Amharic, kedusan. Kedusan, kedoshim, from the kadash or the kedeset, the root right there, there, there. Now, there's another word that's also used for saints in certain areas of the scriptures. That's the chassidim. Chassidim, like the chassid. Chassid. Some people say like the chassid, the chassidic. You hear everyone say chassidic Yehudi. Well, chassidim. That's also used for holy. That's a slightly different context. The difference being the chassidim from chesed. Chesed in Hebrew is one of the 13 attributes of Jehovah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem. Basically means merciful, loving kind. So those who receive his loving kindness, those who are worthy of his loving kindness that he like shares his grace on, right? They and seek to live their life right because they received of his grace are called the Hasidim. Get into that detail a little bit right there, but there's another word that in translation is not kedoshim, but that's kind of rare and usually it's in the Psalms. But here in the Torah, the word for saints is the kedoshim. So kedusha is the word for holiness, and its main meaning, its operative meaning, is to set apart, to set apart. The saints are the kedoshim, the set apart ones. Second question, what does the word korban, korban, or in some pronunciation, korban, 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 what does the word korban, korban mean? This is the general word for offering or a gift, an offering or a gift. Hold up a moment right here, offering or a gift, right? A korban is an offering or a gift. And it's from the Hebrew, the Afro-Semitic root, karob, karab, karob. In modern Hebrew, they might say karov, karov, like krav maga. That particular style of street fighting, but the word actually means to come near, to draw near, or to present, to offer, to present. Karab in Amharic, Karab, Karabe, Karabe. Karab in the Hebrew means offering or gift, but it comes from the root idea of coming near or presenting. In the plural sense, is known as the korban note, the offerings or the gifts. Thirdly, let's list the names, the shemot, the names of the five types of offerings. So there are five types of offerings. So let's go to some of the names of them. First, we have the olah. The olah is the ascending or the whole burnt offering, the ascension offering, the going up. Literally, the olah is like the going up, like with the smoke going up and the sweet savor going up and the whole thing being burnt, the burnt offering. We have the mincha. Mincha is the grain offering. In the KJV Bible, they have meat offering, but since it's a grain offering, there's no debtors, there's no blood in it, it is more correctly, in this day and time, should be referred to as meal offering. But the mincha, the second, is the grain offering. Thirdly, the shelamim. Shelamim are the well-being offering, the well-being offering, or in the translation, the peace offering. Fourthly is the chatat, the sin, the ukri, the lack offering, the lack, to say sin, falling short, missing the mark offering. And fifthly is the asham, the way it's written in English, like asham. Basically, this is the guilt. The guilt offerings, the asham offering. Now there is also a toda, what's called a toda. Now in Hebrew, especially the modern and nowadays Hebrew, would say toda rabba, thank you very much, toda, my for thanks, right? Like in Amharic, we could say miskana. In fact, in Amharic, the miskana is the thanksgiving offering. So when it says like to give thanks, in some places in the KJV, you might think it's just like just give thanks, but it's also an offering that was given that was the thank offering. So the Torah is referred to as the thanksgiving offering. So when you see in the scripts, thanksgiving offering is called in the Hebrew the Torah in the Amharic, the Miskana. This is a type of a peace offering. It's a type of the Shelami. So really the Torah, thanksgiving offering, is a type of well-being or peace offering, a type of shelamim. Once again, five types of offering, olah, burnt offering, ascension offering, mincha, grain offering, meal offering, shelamim, peace offering, well-being offering, chatat, sin offering, asham, guilt offering. And the Torah, the thanksgiving offering, is a type of peace offering. So they're the five types of offerings. Fourthly, what kind of animals could be offered at the Mishkan? What kind of animals are, scripturally speaking, creatures, living creatures? See, I want to show you something right here because, yes, Jah, right, loves his creation, and yes, his majesty in the manifest shows us that by his love of the animal creation. And so one will say, well, since he loved the creation so much, you know, why would he give the animals over to that? Well, people were already doing sacrifice long before we have these instruction of sacrifice. So we pointed out, where does sacrifice come from? How long were people doing sacrifice? Who told Cain and Abel, you know, to do sacrifice? Seemed like Abel had the right idea in mind, you know what I mean? But Cain didn't. How they know these things? How did Noah know the difference between clean animals and unclean animals? So they didn't have to wait for Moshe's law, right, to know the difference between clean and unclean. In fact, it would appear, right, that man had lost certain knowledge and it had to be restored to him, because when they came out of Egypt, they were used to doing in Egypt what they were doing in Egypt. So when Moses was no longer around, they went back to their old ways and forgot that they had said all that Jehovah had said we would do. They wasn't commanded nothing concerning that. But anyway, here in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Love that verse, the glory that will be revealed, not over there, right, but in us and through us, in us, for the earnest expectation of the creature. That's speaking about the animal. What do the animals expect? And even from ancient days, what did they expect? Did they have a hope? Did Jah give them a hope or a promise, or he just allowed them, you know, just to go through whatever they went through? Here, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth." So the creatures, the animals, are waiting for the manifestation of the B'nai Elohim, the children, the sons of Elohim. Remember in the beginning? In the beginning, no debtors was commanded. No, everything was commanded, man and animals, to eat the, you could say, the green. the green. So where did the animals eating come in? I submit to you, it has a lot to do with the hidden mystery behind the Gan Eden, what occurred in the Garden of Eden. But here, for right now, Romans 8 and 20 says, for the creature, to say the animal, in fact, the word animal doesn't appear in the King James Version of the Bible, not in the text. The animal is called the creature, living creature, the creation. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Get this? For the creature was made subject to vanity. In a sense, a lot of what's being done here is Jehovah suffering vanity for the sake of growing up his children who already were caught and stuck in the ways of lost and astray humanity. In other words, they already were sacrificing. People already were sacrificing the days of Cain and Abel, according to the Bible. Many cultures, a lot of similarities in certain things, right? But a lot of confusion too. Here it says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly." So the creatures, the animals in the Greek said, yeah, the bull said, yeah, I'll be sacrificed for man's sake. No, but it was made subject to such vanity, right? Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope and expectation. Verse 21, Romans 8 and 21. "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the B'nai Elohim, the children, the sons of Elohim." This is why the new covenant, the Brit Chadash, is so beautiful, when we understand the true types and how we have basically crossed over, right, from that shadow to the true substance, right? Here, verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also." So see right here, it's showing there's something shared in common between so-called man and the animal. And you'll figure it out in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, both of them, what's related, what connects both of them is chai, or chayim. Chayim, Hebrew word for life. The animals are called chayim, living creatures. They have chai, life. Man was made a living soul, right? He has chai, yes, I, chai. He has life, chayim. So there is a principle, the Hebrew, we call like the Hebrew karma of like for like, right? Like for like, in order to keep balancing the equation, like the eye for eye, tooth for tooth. So the principle of sacrifice from the groundation is a life for life principle. Hopefully we could bring that out with the laying on of hands. Because when the man will lay on hands of the animal and then will cut that animal's neck, what that symbolized is, if it wasn't for the grace of the Father, there go you. You deserve to die, right? But because man was made to be of a higher order of creation and much is dependent, like it says, upon whom much is expected, like was much is given, much is required, right? But it says right here, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, not only living creatures." So is man an animal? In the Hebrew sense, yes, he is a living creature, right? But he has been given more. right? Man has the three brains, the trinity of brains, right? He has the reptile, the reptilian brain. He has the mammalian brain, right? And then he has a higher brain in order to make and maintain that God connection. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. What are we waiting for? Waiting for the adoption. You know what adoption is? Truly becoming the sons and the daughters of Elohim. I mean, we could say we're sons and daughters. We could say whatever we want to say, but is it really true? That's what it says, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, the redemption of our I body. And also in Romans, so what sacrifices we give in the new covenant sense? Well, first of all, in Romans chapter 12, right, verse 1, it says, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, right, the chassidim, rahamim of Elohim, that ye all present your bodies a living sacrifice. Have you not heard the prophets of Rastafari, singers and players? I and I, a living sacrifice, not dead, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Elohim. That is your reasonable service. A reasonable, come, make a reason on I and I, reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. That's what happened to the Israelites. They were conformed to the world. They were being conformed to the world of Egypt. You know, like many of us, you know, take us out of Babylon, but how much Babylon will still be in I and I? Have to work on getting that out, right? Right. So right here, where we're at, here we go. Verse 2, Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world. So though God took them out of Egypt, the sons of Israel were still conformed to Kemet. That's why they did what they did. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. Note that when Moses said, listen, don't be afraid. Come on into the thick darkness. This is where Elohim is. You know, he just come to prove you. Y'all said such and such, so come on, prove it. And they're like, no. Right? It seems as though that virus of their disobedience was already in them. Just wanted to share that right there concerning the animals and the creation, what it said. And it's interesting that in a new covenant sense, we are getting out of the debtors, if you can, overs, right? You know, and instead of presenting I bodies, know ye not that your body is the temple? Yes? So here. Fourth question, what kind of animals or living creatures could be offered at the Mishkan, right? Defect-free cattle, oxen, a bull or a cow, the male or the female, a sheep, a ram or a ewe, the male or the female, or goats, a buck or a doe, the male or the female. The poor could offer turtle doves, so people couldn't afford a cow or didn't have cows and bulls and rams and, you know, goats and everything. You know, they could offer turtle doves or like pigeon doves or turtle doves, right? Fifth question, what had to be constantly on the altar? The altar in Hebrew, the Mizbeach. Mizbeach. What? What had to be constantly, always on the Mizbeach? Fire. The fire of the burnt offering was known as Tamid. In other words, the fire was called by the Hebrew term Tamid. Tamid in Hebrew means itinual, always, perpetual. Continual prayer, constant prayer, constant. Yeah, constant and perpetual. In chapter 6, verse 12. So the fire was known as continual, Aish, the Aish Tamid. We refer to it as the Aish fire, Tamid, continual fire, Aish Tamid, or simply as the Tamid, the continual, the perpetual. The evening sacrifice was kept burning through the night until the flames could kindle the wood for the morning burnt offering. So the evening sacrifice, right, was kept burning through the night, so stoking up the flames, keeping the fire burning. And so here we get an object lesson, even in the new way, right, and the new name, even for I and I, you know, like when we're burning the fire, I being the fire and keeping the fire burning, you know, through the night of Isis. So there we get the true context according to the glory of His Majesty. So through the night until the wood for the morning, you know, for the morning burning, right, the morning offering. Now on this, the ancient teaching, Timheret, the ancient Talmud, now Talmud is the operative word. It means teaching. Give us a teaching of His Majesty. So the teaching says continually, even on the Shabbat, continually, even in a state of impurity, continually. In other words, when he says continual, it doesn't say, well, if this happens, that happened, do this or that. Keep the fire. So the idea of keeping the fire burning, right, it goes to this point in principle. We say that as Rastafari. Yes, I keep the fire burning. Well, it's based on this, according to the glory of His Majesty. During the journeys through the desert, when the altar was covered with a cloth of purple wool, the fire is said to have been placed over it, right, in a copper bowl, right? Rav Chiya had said that the fire is Yitzhak's, is Isaac's. Why? Because it's written in Genesis chapter 22, verse 7, behold, here is the fire and the wood. So based on what Isaac had said, right, this has become a tradition to call the fire Yitzhak's. It belongs to Yitzhak. Why? Because Yitzhak, he had said in Genesis 22 and 7 to his father, here is the fire and wood. And then he asked, but where is the sacrifice? And his father, Abraham, didn't say, well, you boy are going to be, no, he said that Elohim will provide for himself a sacrifice. Question six right here. What time of the day did the priest place wood on the altar? What time of the day? According to Torah, every morning and evening. Why? To ensure that the fire, the Eish Tamid, the Zoetar Isat, never went out. Question seven. What was the first task of the daily service at the Mishkan? The first task. The first task was to tend the fire, to tend to the fire at the altar, and to remove the accumulated ashes each morning, right? This is known as the Terumat Hadashen. Terumat Hadashen, removing the ashes. The priest, the Kohen, had to wear his ceremonial clothes when he removed the ashes. But he changed into plain clothes when he left the Mishkan. This is a point in the principle. The priest had to, once he entered into the tabernacle courtyards and he's ready to do his service, they had to change their clothing. They could not wear their priestly ceremonial clothing outside of the holy place. They were not to sanctify the people with their clothing outside the holy place. This means that when they were in the holy place, they were whatever their title was. But when they were outside the holy place, they were just our brother. This is an important principle, and Moshiach talks about that, you know, there were some rabbis and others that liked to get greetings. The greetings of rabbi in the marketplace. First thing I thought of, I said, oh, so they could get a good deal. You know what I'm saying? They could use their authority here, over here. But John said that, no, the priests wear their ceremonial clothing when they do every task, including when they're removing the ashes. But they change into plain clothes, into other clothing, when they left the Mishkan. All right, so they had that job, that function. But they were not to use that function. You know, like the reverend is reverend when he's in the church. But when we see him down the block, he's our brother. Isn't he? Isn't he our brother? Anyway, the next question right here. What was required of the high priest every morning and evening? What was required of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest? right, every morning and evening. He had to offer mincha, which is a grain offering, a meal offering, up on the altar twice a day. When? In the morning and in the evening. In the morning and in the evening. Ninth question. What was forbidden to be offered with mincha, with the grain offering, with the meal offering? What was forbidden? Leaven or chametz, or you could say yeast. Yeast and honey. Basically, yeast and honey was forbidden. Yeast and honey was forbidden to be offered with the mincha, with the grain offering. Here we refer to yeast and leaven in Hebrew. Leaven, right? Leaven and yeast is chametz, and honey is davash, right? Since both of these, both yeast or leaven, chametz, and davash, they both induce fermentation. In other words, decay and death. But there are two exceptions. Just take a note. There's two exceptions to this according to HaTorah. Next question, 10th question. What additional ingredient was added to all offerings? What additional ingredient was added to all offerings? And question, and why? Here, we're at the 10th question. Melach, or in the hard chow, salt. Salt was additional ingredient added to all offerings. Well, why? Because it preserved the offering and prevented rotting. Because remember the principle, decay symbolizes death. Question 11. What is an ola? What's an ola? An ola, right? Ola is a male whole burnt offering. An ola is a male whole burnt offering of the chayim, of the animals, an ascending offering, a fire offering. We call this the ishay is the fire offering. Ishay, the fire offering of a sweet savor, right, to Elohim, to Ha'ilahim. What is a mincha? A mincha offering. A mincha offering, or the meal offering, is an unleavened grain offering that could be mixed with five different kinds of oil and spices. So an unleavened grain offering, right, that's the mincha, right, and it could be mixed with five different kinds of oils and spices. A portion of the grain was burnt on the altar. That's the Azkara from Zakar, to remember, the Azkara, right, the memorial part, the Azkara, right? The priest would take a komet, a handful, and he would burn it on the altar, and the rest of the grain that was offered was donated to HaKohanim, to the priest. The grain offering was often given, right, by the poor. It's usually that the poor, right, usually, right, were the ones who probably only could afford, you know, grain, you know, instead of, you know, like what the rich that had a lot of cattle and animals, they could, you know, give more, right? To whom more is given, more is required. 13th question, what is special about the shelamim? What is special about the shelamim? The shelamim is the peace offering, or the well-being offering. Well, everyone benefited from it. The blood and the fat, that went to HaMizbeach. It went to the altar. The blood poured at the bottom, and the fat burned completely on the altar. So that went to Ha'ilahim, so to speak. The breast and the thigh, that went to HaKohanim. And the hide and the flesh, that went to the owner, who shared them with his family and friends in a communal meal. So according to the context of the peace offering, right, the peace offering, everyone benefited from that. The priest, while Elohim got his share, symbolically the blood was poured out, right, and the fat was burnt, right, the breast and the thigh went to the priest, the hide and the flesh went back to the owner, who can share that with family and friends, and maybe, you know, have a communion meal and everything, a sup, right? So 14th question, what part of the animal sacrifice always belongs to Ha'elohim, to the power? Simply put, the chelev, that part of the animal sacrifice, the blood was to be, well, that's the next question. First of all, the part of the animal sacrifice that always belonged to Ha'elohim was the chelev, or some say the chelev, the fat. As Leviticus 3:11, 3:1:1 says, all the fat is Jehovah's, right? So that would be bun, right? We bun that, right? So no eat, no blood, and no trans fat or other kind of fat. 15th question, what was done with the blood of the sacrifice animals? It was sprinkled round about the altar and sometimes, on some occasions, applied to the horns of the Mizbeah, the altar. Now, on the Day of the Atonement, Yom HaKippurim, blood was applied to the horns of the altar of Aishas. The other time, the blood would be applied to the brazen altar in the outer courtyard, but on the Day of the Atonement, blood was applied even to the horns of the altar of Aishas. And it was dashed, right, or sprinkled upon the Kapparet. The Kapparet is the mercy seat where the Kephraim, right, the Kephras or the Kephraim, the cherubim, were upon seven times. 16th, two animal products are forbidden, or in the Hebrew, asor. Asor from asar in the Afro-Semitic, it seems to imply the sense of like binding, like what's binding, like you're almost bound from doing this. The two animal products that were asor or forbidden to eat, Torah, HaTorah, Jah's direction instructions state that we may not eat blood or fat. We may not eat blood or fat. 17th question, what is a thanksgiving offering? What is a thanksgiving offering? It's a type of shelamim. It's a type of peace offering. In the Amharic, this is known as yedechinet, like dena, yedechinet meswa'it, a well-being, like a well-being sacrifice, a well-being offering. The thanksgiving offering, a type of shelamim, is given in thanks for deliverance. Like today, right, Birkat HaGomel is recited in its place. So there's something that's known as Birkat, the blessing HaGomel, like the blessing of like Gomel, like kind of gratitude, like a blessing of gratitude is recited nowadays instead of the actual giving of it because of no temple in the Old Testament literal sense. There's no temple to offer it. So there's no place of offering according to some of the Jews from a Old Testament and not looking at the Moshiach in the New Covenant sense. We do have a place of offering, but we'll get to that in the Hebrews reading. According to Midrash, the teaching, in the days of Moshiach, in the days of Messiah, all sacrifices will be annulled except for the thanks offering. Isn't this interesting? The Midrash, the oldest of the Midrash is from the time of like Ezra, some of the oldest of the studies and the teaching from the time of Ezra around like 500 BCE, right? All the way to even perhaps like the three to the ninth century. You have some teachings building on the ancient sages' reasoning, like we build on some of the reasoning of some of like the Rastafari patriarchs and matriarch. But here it says, in an ancient Midrash, a study of teaching, they said that in the days of Messiah, all sacrifices will be annulled except for the Todah or the Miskana, except for the thanksgiving offering. This is interesting because this is also brought out in the Epistle to the Hebrews. The Epistle to the Hebrews bring out this very same point. What it's saying is that Yeshua, he is the Messiah that you seek. He is the Messiah. He is the Kohen Gadol. He has fulfilled these types. Therefore, the Old Testament type has been renewed, right, in the Brit Chadasha sense, and thus a central book for our study is the Epistle to the Hebrews. Get into more of that right there. So let's go to the next question, 18th question. Is leaven always forbidden? Is yeast always a sore in sacrifice? Is it always forbidden? No. It was used for the thank offering, the thanksgiving offering, literally the Torah, the Miskana, the thank offering, and also for the wave offering. The wave offering was the wave offering of the loaves during Shavuot or the Pentecost. Now, here's what's very interesting is that we have Pesach coming forward, right? So we have Passover, the first of the seven appointments, and then we have the days of unleavened bread, right? And then on the morrow after Shabbat, right, we have the first fruits offering, right, that corresponds to the resurrection of Yeshua, right, on that first day, which happened to be, as it's called nowadays, a Sunday, the first day resurrection on the morrow after the Sabbath. So what day comes after the Sabbath? What day comes after Saturday? First day, Sunday. So this is the resurrection, first day, Sunday. This is why that was significant that Yeshua, right, was not found, right, in the tomb, right, on that first day when Mary Magdalene, the other woman, came to anoint his body and prepare for burial. He was risen the first day resurrection. And that, to ones who knew Torah, they thought about it and said, Chan, we have the Passover here. We have the unleavened bread here. Remember how he broke the bread right there? And then he raises on the morrow after the Sabbath. And he said, 3 days and three nights. Boom. There you see it there, right? So that's how they were able to put that right there together. But we have the wave offering of two loaves. So when you read after Passover, right, it says count seven Sabbaths complete. Seven times seven, two sevens clash, 49 days. Then he says on the morrow, right, the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. So what's the next day after the seventh Sabbath? It's the first day. Yeah, we didn't call it Sunday. We called it the first day, but the first day nowadays is called by others Sunday. I point that out because there's someone who are kind of, you know, they're, as Paul said, they have a zeal for Elohim, but not according to knowledge. So they say things like, you know, there's no like Sunday worship or whatnot like that. Okay, true. If you're saying we call it Sunday, no, we didn't call it Sunday. But if you're saying that on the first day, the day after the Shabbat, there was not any appointments, duty, and service to keep, well, then you're wrong, because we can find it and show you here in Torah. Just take a note, make a note of that. But during the Passover, it's all unleavened bread. No leaven is to be seen. But then 50 days later, right, seven times seven plus one day later, we bring forward the harvest, right? We're to take the grain, the first grain, right? In other words, we have no bread, in other words, until then. When we are farming, we have no bread until then. Because we can't eat no bread for ourselves until we first offer the landlord his share, right? And through the way we offer Jehovah his share is through his appointed representatives according to the tabernacle type. So when they offer the wave offering, right, the two loaves, remember it's loaves of bread. These have yeast in them. So this is what is bringing out that the time and the season. Passover, no yeast, no leaven. But Pentecost or Shavuot, the harvest, the Feast of Weeks, the Festival of Weeks, there where now our crops and the grain have more fully grown. You see, on the first fruits, we offer a sheaf, like a sheaf, you know, like a sheaf, like a sheaf is almost like a like one single, the first fruit sheaf. But then 50 days later or so, right, then we are then able to offer the grain. And but then we bake it, right, and we have yeast in it, and then we wave this, right, before the tabernacle, that's to say, like before the ark, before his presence, and the wave, right, the wave offerings from our study is where making the sign of the cross comes from, because of the direction that we would wave what we wave, right, like to the north, south, east, and west, so to speak. But let's go on to the next question right here, here, here. Okay, 19th question. What was done with leftovers of the animal sacrifice? Right? What was done? Now, some people will say, oh, why don't they just give it to some poor people? You obviously haven't really understood what these sacrifices are about. Right? And you say, give it to some poor people. No. They were burned entirely, right, because of what they symbolized. Right? They were burned entirely on the altar after their expiration date. What was the expiration date for offerings? One day and one night for the chatat, for the sin, the ukri offering, and for the asham, the guilt offering, and the intervening night for free will, shalamim, free will, peace offering. Even the residue absorbed by the pot in that the meat was cooked, it becomes forbidden for consumption after the expiration date, but must be kashered, like made kosher. And how was it made kosher? It was scalded. It had to be scalded. So this attention to certain details is very important to see in the Old Testament type and see if we can see what is the principles to be applied even in the New Covenant sense. 20th question, do priests, Kohanim, get to eat from all sin offerings? 20th questions. Not all. Sin offerings, any sin offering, chatat offering, akri offering, as we like to say to bring home the meaning, fokri offering, whose blood is used to make atonement in the holy place, these are to be entirely burnt, according to Leviticus 6:30. So the priest could eat of some of them, but any chatat, any sin offering whose blood is used to make atonement in the holy place, these sin offerings had to be entirely, completely holocaust, completely consumed, go up in smoke. We have to give Jah all that smoke, right? All that smoke. So we need to reorientate how we use the smoke. You know, for enemies or haters, give them the fire, right? 21st question, what was the priest's portion of the olah, of the whole burnt offering, of the ascension offering? What was the priest's portion? The priest's portion was the hide of the animal was given to HaKohen, to the priest who performed the sacrifice according to Leviticus 7 and 8. What was the priest's portion of the olah, of the ascension, the burnt offering? The priest's portion was the hide of the animal, was given to the priest, only to the priest who performed the service, the sacrifice. 22nd question, can grain be given as a chatat offering, as a sin, a lack, a forfeiture, a sin offering? Right? Can grain be given? Yes. According to Torah, yes, though, but here is the detail, though no oil or frankincense may be mixed with the unleavened fine flour. Yes, but no oil or frankincense. Now, it's interesting you say the principle of oil. Oil, we know natural oil and oil as an allegorical symbol. Oil has to do with spirit. Right, the spirit, right, and anointing. And frankincense also has to do with the sweetness of our prayer and our praise. But the reason why the chatat, right, the grain offering, if it's a grain offering given as like a chatat, the grain is being given as a sin offering, it's not about any anointing, no spirit, no frankincense. In other words, it's like, don't try to sweeten it up, right? It's almost like apology, you know, like, you know, oil and the frankincense, it's a way of saying, like, no sweetness to it. You know what I mean? Like, just deal with the matter, you know? Give the uck for the uck. Give the sin offering for the sin offering and clear that out the way. So anyway, let's go to the 23rd question. When an animal, a living creature, was sacrificed, why were both hands placed on its head? Now, this, the Samech, the Hebrew letter named Samech, the Hebrew letter Samech. When you study that letter, how it looks just like the two hands placed together. You know, like, you know that Trinity hand sign? If you put your two hands together, this is a similar way that the hand had to be placed, right? The hand had to be placed on the head of the sacrificial living creature, the sacrificial animal. The question here is, when the animal was sacrificed, why were both hands placed on its head? Why were both, hold on for a moment. Flicker. To symbolize that it is a substitute for the person who brought it. The laying on of hands is called samicha, from samicha. And but when you see the Hebrew letter samek, and you look at the hand sign of His Majesty, and you look at the two hands together, it's very, very interesting. That same hand sign that when put upward is to bless, the priestly hand sign for blessing, but that's also the hand sign that will be put on the head of the animal. This is to symbolize, so one had to put their hands on the both hands on the head of the animal that they are offering, because it's, the symbol is, this is a substitute for the person who brought it. The laying on of hands is called the Samicha, from the letter Samech. What is distinctive about a guilt offering? What is distinct about a guilt offering or the Asham? The distinct thing about the guilt offering is that restitution had to be made. And this was usually about 20% or a fifth along with the sacrifice. So that when one's, say, if I wrong somebody, right, I might have to give a sin offering and a guilt offering. When I give the guilt offering, like given to Jehovah through the priest, I had to also give restitution to the person that I wronged, plus a fifth, plus 20%. So the distinction about the asham, the guilt offering, is that restitution had to be made. And the restitution is 20% along with the sacrifice. 20% along with the sacrifice. What do the words clean and unclean mean? In the Hebrew, we say tahor for clean and tameh for unclean. It's interesting because we look at the etymology of the word tahor. In Amharic, we have teru, right? And terat, like to say something is quality is terat. But it comes from the ancient tahor, even in the Ethiopic, the good. So basically it's saying that it's also teru, often used for good, but it's like of quality, say clean. And unclean, tameh, like contaminated, tameh means it's contaminated. Right, clean and unclean, right, tahor or tameh, right, these terms, they refer to the ritual acceptability regarding the performance of various commands. Once again, clean and unclean, this refers to the ritual or the service acceptability regarding the performance of various commandments. It is important to note that they do not refer to physical cleansiness as much as meeting the conditions for participation in the rites and ritual. A lot of people have confusion about this. You know, it's like a woman or a man, or one might be unclean, so forth and so on. They're thinking like, oh, well, because a woman's going through that, or a man has sex or something like that, he might be unclean. No, it's ritual, the rites and the ritual acceptability regarding performance. So it's important to note that it does not tahor and tame, clean and unclean, does not refer to the physical cleanliness as much as to meeting the terms and conditions for participation in the ritual or the Israelite rites. In the post-temple time, these concepts had been reassigned to like the toharat ha-mishpaka, like the family purity, toharat purity ha-mishpaka of the family or the family circle, such as nida, menstruation, the use of the mikvah, the mikveh, cleansing baths, 7 days after the flow ceases, so forth and so on. So it's important to note that in its original sense, the clean and unclean, just as a woman during her time, right, her flowers, as it's called, euphemistically speaking, could not enter. If a man, right, had sex, you know, in a certain period of time, he could not enter. He would have to purify. Or if he had a discharge, right, he could not enter. It doesn't mean that, oh, because he did that or because a woman had a time of the month, something's wrong with her. No. It is saying that just because of that blood flow or the man being unclean, male or female, for issue. An issue mean a flow. You know, I would dare say that if one has too much of a runny nose, because it says basically any issue of fluid and liquid, one is not clean. So it's basically about participation in the service, just to point that out right there. I'm not talking about like a person, you unclean, no. Can a person in a, quote, unclean state eat of the sacrifices? No. All who ate the sacrificial food had to be in a state of ritual purity, tahara. So technically speaking, if a priest's daughter, right, was in a state of her menstruation and there's a sacrifice and like say it's grain offering, right? She could eat the grain later on once she, because the grain is not going to be thrown away. But if it's a particular meat offering a part of that, well, she couldn't eat that then because she's not in that state. But neither can a priest if he is in an unclean state. Because I just want to point out that it's both male and female. Some have kind of like twisted it one way or the next, but it's not exactly what the Torah. That's why we have to study for ourselves to know the truth. What was done? Question 27, what was done with the blood of the ram of ordination, as we have the priests here are getting ready for their service for 7 days, 7 days. Tanufa, right? An offering that's waved before Jehovah in special offering. According to ancient teaching of Talmud Menachot 62a, a tanufa was moved back and forth, up and down. Thus, we see the sign of the cross. It was moved back and forth, up and down, like, you know, you go before the patach, the door of the tabernacle, and you offer that. Or if you have right to enter into the tabernacle, you can offer that. Move to and fro, up and down, like from up and down to and fro. So up and down, like from heaven to earth and from like left to right, the sign of the cross, to symbolize the fact that it is being offered to Ribon Shel Ha'olamim, to the master of the entire world, the universal master. First fruit wave offerings mark the beginning of the spring grain harvest and the counting period between Passover and Shavuot and Pentecost, which is known as the Omer count, counting the grain as it grows. The waving of the two loaves was a climax of Shavuot, of the harvest. So as the harvest time, we're counting it from the end of Passover, right, towards the harvest season. And then when we come to the harvest time, then the full count. 29th question here. What percentage of the 613 Torah laws of HaTorah of the direction instruction are given in the book of Leviticus? And here we have 40% of the overall 613 direction instructions given in the Torah, right, are found here in this one book right here, the handbook, right? The handbook of the priesthood, the handbook of the priest. Yes, I, Rastafari Chan, looking at the time we have right here, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, let's ride up and out right here. Hopefully we can reason on a little bit more, but this is just to give one an overview so we can get at least a general context of what we have here in the text. Yes, I, God bless the eye, right? God bless the eye, cause his face is grace to shine on the eye, and I give I and I Yeshua shalom. Yes, I. Outro tune right here, here's the Adonai tune, but first.
Live by the Torah and the wicked are gonna crumble, Abbe Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them trimble. Live by Abbe Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them trimble. Live by the Torah and the wicked are gonna crumble, Abbe Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them trimble. Live by the Torah and the wicked are gonna crumble. Shout up two songs and the wicked them trimble. Live by the Torah and the wicked are gonna crumble. And the wicked them trimble. Live by the Torah and the wicked I go crumble. Torah and the wicked I go crumble. Torah and the wicked I go. Torah and the wicked I go crumble. And when them see the man say them a be humble. Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them trimble. Live by the Torah and the wicked I go crumble.
Father and son. Father and son. Father and son.
Give God all that smoke. Yes, I. The sweet savor, the sacrifice of your prayer and your praise. Yes, I. And for the others, and here on the outro, we have Israel Dejaner right here with Adonai tune here in the Hebrew, as well as the Amharic right here. Shalom, Haverim, Shalom, Melkam, the Hood. Beautifully good first day. Shavuah Tov, the Shavuah, the 7 days to come, may they be beautifully good. In Yahweh, truth and life of the King of Kings, Christ, Yeshua HaMoshiach, glory be the King, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, Kedemah, Halas Lase, Yemeskin.